Welcome to Hour 2 of Sports Saturday, the 15th Club, with hosts Ed Clements and Scotty Sayers. They'll bring you up-to-the-minute information on what's going on in the world of golf. They're taking calls at 512-836-0590 or 1-877-590-KLBJ.
Sports Saturday continues. Hi, everybody. This is the 15th Club on KLBJ Radio, broadcasting live from Dirty Martin's Place. 15th Club brought to you by Capital Chevrolet and by ABC Bank, with support from Sweet Spot Golf Video, TicketCity.com, Pioneer Golf, Maudie's Tex-Mex, Nine Banded Whiskey, the Deep Eddy Cabaret, Donald Ross Sportswear, the Muni Conservancy, Adele Golf, and Hemp Doctors USA. I'm Ed Clements along with Scotty Sears. Scotty, the Longhorns about to get the victory over West Virginia, 35-24, a hard-fought victory. The big surprise to me in the Big 12 today is the Baylor Bears. Baylor Bears are undefeated. They defeated K-State today 31-12, so it looks like it's going to be a big meeting between Texas and Baylor in November. The Texas golf team is very good. The Baylor golf team is very good, as are the football teams.
Yeah, and I'm happy for Baylor. I think it's a good thing that their program's coming back.
Yeah.
Now, Oklahoma State, who we thought was going to be the third best team in the conference, suddenly that was terrible today.
And the TCU Horned Frogs, who I thought would be the fourth best team in the conference. What we're talking about, Texas Tech defeated Oklahoma State in Lubbock this afternoon, 45-35. Sam Ehlinger scores another touchdown just moments ago for the Texas Longhorns, so that's a big win for the Longhorns. But Texas Tech defeated Oklahoma State 45-35 in shocking fashion. And then the TCU Horned Frogs got throttled by Iowa State in Ames, Iowa. So you've got the upper echelon. You've got Texas, Oklahoma, and Baylor. And then you got the middle part of this Big 12, and then you've got some dog. It's an interesting dichotomy now.
Well, I think the bottom line is the Big 12 is top-heavy.
Yes.
I mean, with Texas and Oklahoma, and that's really everybody else is kind of unknown.
Well, don't forget Baylor. Baylor's undefeated
Scotty. We'll see.
Charlie Brewer, the son of our friend Robert Brewer, playing awfully well. I know Baylor's still got to play Oklahoma, but this, you know, they beat Kansas State on the road, and usually when a team goes, I've seen Longhorn teams lose at K-State. That's a big accomplishment today for Matt Rhule and the Baylor Bears.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
It is.
Did Matt go for two today? Did he have to go for two in this game?
I don't think so. I need to check that score to see how our friend Matt Brown, you still argue with.
Well, look, I'm a traditional guy, and I go with conventional wisdom.
You're an old guy. That's what you are. You're an old guy.
We're close. Slightly older than you, but I just think you kick the point and tie it home and then play in overtime.
No problem for our friend Mack Brown today. He leads Georgia Tech in Atlanta 38-22.
So that's good. Well, you know, and it's good. Credit to him for getting his team, even though Georgia Tech is terrible. Credit to him for keeping his team up after what has to be a letdown week.
Sure. An upset to me in the SEC today. Florida has defeated Auburn 24-13 in 9 seconds to play in that game. Auburn went in undefeated. Florida undefeated. Dan Mullen, the head coach formerly of Mississippi State, now at Florida, they got that going on at Florida.
Yeah, they do. And Auburn has a great defense, too. That was surprising.
Yeah, and that SEC is going to get real interesting next week, because Texas and OU play at 11 a.m. in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. Then at 2:30, the Aggies will be hosting the Alabama Crimson Tide. So it's going to be a big, big weekend. Hey, we got a good show. We're going to continue up to date with football, but we've got to get you an update on what happens at the Shriners Children's Hospital in Las Vegas. Also, a special visit with our friend Kevin Robbins, who's written a wonderful new book about Payne Stewart. We both have read this book. It is tremendous. Kevin is here. I don't know if you saw the review in the Wall Street Journal this past week. Very, very nice review of Kevin's book. So Kevin had the autobiography of or the biography of Harvey Pinnock that was out a couple years ago. Yeah. It was a wonderful book. And now this is a look back at the late Payne Stewart, a guy that you knew.
I knew Payne just from being around him over a whole lot of years as I was working for Ben, and watched his sort of evolution into a very, very good player and a good man.
Yeah.
At the end of his life. And not that he was ever not a good man, but he had, you know, he was very boastful.
He was very cocky, very boastful. He was that way at SMU. He lived hard. He played hard. but at the end of his life, he loved his wife, he loved Jesus, he loved his family, and
he was a lot of fun to be around.
I was around him a few times when I heard him sing a few times with our friend Sam Irwin.
Yep.
Duck Soup.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that with Kevin. Right now, let's do our leaderboard report brought to you by Pioneer Golf. And out at Barton Creek, they're playing the Senior PGA Professionals Championship.
And there's a lot on the line. There's a spot in the senior qualifying, and there's spots in the Senior PGA Championship next summer.
Yeah. Frank Benzel from Century Country Club in Florida is leading at 12 under. Scott Hebert is 11 under. And guess what? Omar Uresti and his roommate this week is staying with him, Bob Sowards, who's the defending champion. They're both 10 under and just two back.
That's good for Omar because I believe top 5, top 10, top 15 gets you into the PGA Senior Championship and maybe a spot to try to qualify for the Champions Tour, which is good for those guys. Bob Sowards, we had him on our Ben Crenshaw show this week. He's the guy that led the United States to the win over England and Ireland last week. He had an eagle at the Fazio Foothill course, in which I cannot believe he eagled that, chipped it in. But he's spent the last 2 weeks in Austin.
Yeah.
And I bet he's ready to get back to Ohio, where it's slightly cooler than it's been in Austin.
I don't know. He's cleaning up here, so he's doing very well. And also our friend Brad Larden's in 13th place.
Good.
So I suggest if you don't have anything to do tomorrow, if you get OD'd on pro football, go out to Barton Creek and watch some really good golf.
Oh, yeah, and Brad Larden, a great former pro from the area, now out in New Mexico. Wonderful guy, great golfer, and I'm so happy for Omar Uresti, who it's hard for me to believe he's over 50 now and still playing out of Onion Creek Club and playing some really, really good golf.
Yep, and in Las Vegas, Kevin Na at the Shriners Tournament is 20 under par. He's on the 15th hole. And Patrick Cantlay, good young player. He's 19 under. Pat Perez, 18 under, along with Samuel Ryder. And Webb Simpson is 16 under.
Good. I know there's a few Longhorns that made the cut. Dylan Fratelli did not. Scotty Scheffler and Bo Hosser did. Bo Hosser's been playing pretty good of late and was in the top 20 going into today's round. But
he shot even par today, and so you get passed out there in Las Vegas if you shoot even par.
Yeah, I love the story about the Las Vegas tournament that Ben Crenshaw told us this week. Ben played in the old Las Vegas Open when it was at the Sahara Golf Course, he said. And I asked him a question on our national show this week about, is it difficult playing in Las Vegas with all the distractions of the nightlife and the dancing girls and gambling? He says, well, a matter of fact, one year, George Knutson, the great Canadian player, was leading the tournament going into Sunday, and he didn't make his tee time on Sunday because he was involved in a massive card game, and he just never made the tee time.
Remember the Desert Inn when they played that tournament, the old Tournament of Champions out there before Ben's time, what they used to do on the 18th hole? They would come out with a wheelbarrow full of silver dollars for the winner.
With the dancing girls, too,
yes,
the showgirls.
With the showgirls, yeah. Yes. But the days of John Daly putting $5,000 in a slot machine, I think those are gone. You know, John Daly supposedly one night got on a $5,000 a pull slot machine, and 5 hours later he had lost $1,600,000.
Hello.
Yeah.
Good gosh.
That is the story, whether that's an urban legend or true. Back in John Daly's day, you know, when he was really partying, that could very well be true.
And it's really interesting, 25, 30 years ago, when the pros would have drinks after the round, they didn't work out. A lot of them were not in great physical shape. Now all these guys on the PGA Tour, you can't think of many heavy guys on the PGA Tour, out-of-shape guys. I think it's a different situation in Las Vegas now. They probably go to one of the fine restaurants in Las Vegas and go to bed.
That's probably a good trivia question for us sometime. Name a PGA Tour player that weighs over 250.
Oh, I could do that just like the boom. I could do it. I've got the whole list.
Oh, you do?
Some of my heroes out there. Full-figured golfers
deluxe.
They
still play?
No, they don't. No, nobody's over 250 on the PGA Tour now.
Okay.
I'm talking about 20 or 30 years ago. This is the 15th Club on KLBJ Radio. Longhorns and a marathon name. They're still playing West Virginia. Texas leads, though, 42-24 late in this contest. Only one really big game tonight in on TV. It's going to be Michigan State at Ohio State, and Ben and I talked about that game. Also, SMU in action tonight against Tulsa. We'll keep you up to date on that as Sonny Dykes and crew hope to go to 6-0. This is the 15th Club on KLBJ Radio. Ed Clements and Scotty Sayers. Our show brought to you by Capital Chevrolet and by ABC Bank. Come on down and see us at Dirty Martin's Place. Enjoy the rest of this Longhorn game. Have drinks and have OTs and have a great, great time. Plus, we've got some of our brand-new KLBJ T-shirts we're giving away tonight on the 15th Club, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Howdy, folks. This is Ray Benson of Asleep at the Wheel, and you're listening to the 15th Club with Ed Clements and Scotty Sayers on News Radio 590 KLBJ.
Ray Benson, the man who started out the ACL Festival yesterday, as he always does, with his band. He'll be there next Friday as well. Welcome back to the 15th Club on KLBJ Radio, brought to you by Capital Chevrolet. Thank you, Harper family, for sponsoring the 15th Club on KLBJ, and by ABC Bank. Thank you, Pal Thompson, one of the finest amateur golfers in town. With support by Sweet Spot Golf Video. You're having a charity golf tournament and you want some great video and a lot of fun, get in touch with Sweet Spot Golf Video. TicketCity.com. Scotty, we talked about this. Ben and I, TicketCity.com. They still
big
have
week for them.
Big week. Texas OU tickets. Call Randy and Lou and the guys at TicketCity.com. Pioneer Golf, if you want to go to Europe, if you want to go to Australia to play golf, Pioneer Golf to call. If you're looking for enchiladas tonight, Maudie's Tex-Mex. If you're looking for whiskey tonight, Nine-Banded Whiskey. Deep Eddy Cabaret is a place we'll probably end up watching football late tonight. Donald Ross Sportswear, great clothing. The Muni Conservancy, as we try to save Lions Municipal. Adele Golf, I wholeheartedly endorse Dave Adele and those great putters. It's helped my game immensely.
Boy, has it.
And by, pardon me?
Yes, it has.
Oh, yes, it has. And by Hemp Doctors USA, one of our new sponsors.
Yeah. Live well and play well with Hemp Doctors USA.
Exactly. Live well and play well, hempdoctors.com. Okay, Longhorns are about 25 seconds away from finally defeating West Virginia in the game that won't end. This is too long. College football games are far too long. This is going to be a four-hour game, Scotty. But the Longhorns are victorious 42-31, and it's on to the date with the Boomer Sooners of Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, that first quarter lasted an hour. So with the sparing, you know, replay reviews and the penalties and everything else, first quarter is what set that game on a four-hour track.
Other winners today in the Big 12, Baylor surprised Kansas State in Manhattan, 31-22. Other winners, Tech upset Oklahoma State in Lubbock. Iowa State throttled TCU in Ames, and Oklahoma all over Kansas in Lawrence, Kansas. So an exciting day in the Big 12. The only big game of the night in my mind is Ohio State hosting Michigan State, and Ohio State is favored by about 22 points.
Let's hope that's a good game, but Ohio State's on a roll.
Oh, they are. They were my preseason national champion.
Were they really?
Yes, they were. So, and I think they can go a long way. Well, talking about a guy who hails from the Midwest, who's written a dynamic new book about Payne Stewart, our friend Kevin Robbins is with us. Kevin, of course, is a lecturer at the University of Texas School of Journalism, and his new book is The Last Stand of Payne Stewart. And, Scotty, we've had the opportunity to read this book, and it is a must-read if you're a golfer and if you're a fan or knew about Payne Stewart. And let's bring in our friend Kevin Robbins right now on the 15th Club. Kevin, thanks for coming down to Dirty Martin's and enjoying everything here at Dirty's. And this is an exciting time because the book comes out this week.
It comes out Tuesday, yep.
Why? Why did you decide to write about Payne Stewart? You've written about Harvey Pennick before. You're a nationally known golf writer. Why did you decide to write about Payne Stewart?
I think the big reason, Ed, is because it's been 20 years since he died. And I think people who didn't live through his career remember the high points. They remember Pinehurst in 99 at the U.S. Open, and they might remember the Ryder Cup. But there's a big story that magnifies and amplifies those moments in a greater way. And I was afraid that younger people didn't know that story. And so that was the big reason I wanted to do this.
And you Did you follow Payne Stewart? Did you ever know Payne Stewart?
I never knew him. I'm from Kansas City, and so I paid attention to Payne Stewart. I paid attention to Tom Watson, and I paid attention to Hale Irwin, the Missouri guys. I watched tournament golf in the 90s, and oddly enough, Payne didn't play a lot on television in the 90s until 98 in the U.S. Open. He won the 91 U.S. Open, and then he just kind of disappeared. He did win once in Houston in 95, but really Scott Hoke had more to do with Payne's winning than Payne did. And then in 98, he reappears, and he almost won the U.S. Open at Olympic. He led for 3.5 rounds. I'm sure you remember this, Scotty.
Yeah.
And Lee Jansen nipped him. Payne had some bad luck, had some unfortunate encounters with fate on the back nine at Olympic. And he came back. It's an amazing resurgent season in 1999.
You know, Kevin, you talk about that Olympic tournament, and I think Lee Jansen, as I recall, bogeyed the first two holes on the last day, and all of a sudden, Payne Stewart, much like Arnold Palmer, in 1966, had a seven-shot lead.
Mm.
Or at least Payne was seven ahead of Lee Jansen.
Seems insurmountable.
And that seems insurmountable, but lo and behold, Lee Jansen comes back, wins by one. And I happened to run into Payne. I was with Ben at the Open Championship at Birkdale that year in 98. And, of course, that was a month after he had lost at Olympic. And Payne was very quiet and reserved, a bit unlike Payne. But you could tell that U.S. Open had taken something out of him.
I'm sure. And could you tell that he was going to have the season that he was going to have in 99?
No. And he didn't play well at that Open at Birkdale that Mark O'Meara won. He finished like 40 in the 45th, something like that. And then he missed the cut in the PGA in August. So there was no indication that he was going to have a strong year in 99 necessarily.
Right.
But I think the washout from the U.S. Open did spill over to him for a while.
I think it did, too. And he took a long break between the end of the 98 season and the start of 99. And he came to Austin to work with Chuck Cook. And he just had things like dialed in, and he was ready to play in 99. He had a piece about him, I think. He felt good about, as you mentioned earlier, life as a whole, mm-hmm. his family. He was committed to spending more time at home. Just felt better about everything in 99. And I think that, as you mentioned, you said spilled over. I think that spilled over into his golf.
Yeah, I think it did too. And he was, I think, happy with his place in life. He was resigned to the fact that maybe he should have won more majors along the way.
But don't they all think that way? I know Ben thinks that way, possibly. Trevino thought that way. Tom Kite, of course, thinks that way. It's not like it's the end of the world, but I think they all think those great golfers, those elite golfers.
No, I think when you reflect back, though, and what Payne may have started doing after the end of the late 90s as his kids were growing up, is he reflected back and thought how lucky he was to have won two majors already. You forget about the chances you've had to maybe have won four or five and just be glad that you were able to win the two, because there's nothing easy about winning a major.
I think you're absolutely right, and given that slump that he had between 91 and 98, I think that'll give a man some perspective. I've never been in that position, but you're close to a man who has. When a player like that, a gifted, brilliant player, goes through a slump like that, I think there's something humbling about that, and that'll change a perspective.
Kevin Robbins is with us. He's written a beautiful new book about Payne Stewart called The Last Stand of Payne Stewart that will be out this coming Tuesday. When we come back after the news, I want to talk about his early years, because I didn't know about the great influence of his father and others and how he worked so hard to be the player he became, the great Payne Stewart. We can tell you at the Shriners Hospital for Children's Open, Kevin Na, who's suddenly become, I think, a popular golfer in America, leads at minus 20. Patrick Cantlay's at minus 19. And Pat Perez and Sam Ryder at minus 18. And Lucas Glover. Look at Lucas Glover at 17 under par. I hope his wife is happy about that, as we will talk more about the Shriners. And we'll talk with Kevin about his new Payne Stewart book, Scotty. And also, the Longhorns have just won at West Virginia.
Well, Kevin Na is on a mission to get picked for the President's Club. President's Cup team.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's like 22nd in the standings when they shut it off. But if he wins, you know, he could be a hard pick.
I want to talk to Kevin, too. Kevin, get your feelings about the President's Cup. And Steve Stricker said this week in Wisconsin, he thinks Tiger's going to name himself and be a playing captain at Royal Melbourne. And I know you guys are kind of shaking your head, but I'm saying, go, Tiger, go. I want to see, because he won't play in any more President's Cup, fellas. Well, it's a good. We'll get into that.
Okay.
And much, much more. More on Kevin's book about Payne Stewart. If you'd like to chime in, we've got room. 512-836-0590. This is the 15th Club on KLBJ Radio. Broadcasting live from Dirty Martin's Place on Guadalupe. Come down and see college football tonight. Great place to see pro football. Our show brought to you by Capital Chevrolet and ABC Bank. We'll be back right after the news here on KLBJ. This is the 15th Club on KLBJ, part of Sports Saturday, brought to you by Capital Chevrolet and by ABC Bank, with assistance from Hemp Doctors USA, Adele Goff, the Muni Conservancy, Donald Ross Sportswear, the Deep Eddy Cabaret, Nine Banded Whiskey, which we're enjoying tonight, by the way. Oh, boy, it's good. Maudie's Tex-Mex, Pioneer Golf, TicketCity.com. TicketCity.com, Scotty. This is a week, Texas OU. It's Peter Gardere week.
Would you call Randy and get me four tickets?
Done. We'll call Randy or go to their website right now, TicketCity.com, and by Sweet Spot Golf Video. We're broadcasting live from Dirty Martin's Place. Come down and see the SMU-Tulsa game or the Ohio State-Michigan State game. Longhorns have won today. Texas over West Virginia, 42-31. Next up is Oklahoma, winners today over K-State. We have an upset alert brewing, though, Scotty, early on in the SEC. Georgia and Tennessee are tied 7-7. Georgia and Tennessee tied 7-7. That will not last because Georgia is going to beat them by about 30, possibly.
No. You know, West Virginia jumped out ahead of Texas.
Yeah.
Kansas jumped out ahead of Oklahoma. It just didn't last. And it's not going to last in that Georgia-Tennessee game.
I don't think it will either. Our guest is Kevin Robbins. The book is The Last Stand of Payne Stewart, The Year Golf Changed Forever. The book will be released on Tuesday. And, Kevin, you're going to be at Book People here in Austin next week. Tell us about that.
I will on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. I'll be talking. This is my first event. I've got a little bit of a book tour this year. I'm going to Tampa. I'm going to Orlando. I'm going to the Country Club in Brookline.
Wow.
Book People on Thursday is my first stop. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let me ask you this, Kevin. You came off a very successful book about Harvey Pinnock. Which I enjoyed so much because it had so much Austin golf history besides just the Harvey Pinnock story. But how did you decide on Payne Stewart as your next topic? And I know you went to Tracy Stewart to get her to go along with the fact that you were going to explore Payne's life.
Right, yeah. I thought Payne's life deserved a reappraisal. And Tracy had written a book that was published within a year after Payne died in 99. The book came out in 2000, and it was a comprehensive, authorized biography of her husband. And so all that comes with that, like, she has a certain image and legacy that she wants to keep for her husband. I understand that completely. But as someone who's more detached and neutral, I was interested in examining his life. I think it's important to know if you're going to celebrate what he did in 1999, both as a player and as a person, you need to know what he had to overcome in the years previous in his life. I did know that I needed Tracy's blessing for the book. Did I want Tracy to participate? Of course, but given her book and everything, she'd spoken so many times about Payne when he was alive and after his death. Honestly, I didn't really feel like dragging her through that again. I wasn't going to force it. I made the request. She declined to do interviews for the book. I was fine with that. But she did give me her blessing so to proceed with the project, which I felt I needed. If I was going to get Paul Azinger or Tom Lehman or the people who were close to Payne back then, they would need to know if Tracy was okay with the book. So I was glad to have that.
I was fascinated by the book because I know with Ben Crenshaw, he had Harvey Pinnock, he had his father, Charlie. Tom Kite had his dad and Mr. Pinnock and others. And I was fascinated to learn that Payne Stewart had a very, very strong father in his life.
He did. His father, Bill Stewart, was an excellent amateur golfer in Missouri. He won the Missouri Senior three times, including 1979. I think it was the last year he did it, and that was the year Payne won the Missouri Amateur. But, yeah, Bill Stewart was a mattress salesman in Springfield, Missouri, He Payne's proclivity to wear loud clothes came from his father. His father told his son, who, now, Bill Stewart was a salesman. His father told his son, if you're going to be remembered, you need to have a look. And Payne, I think we can all agree Payne had a look.
How did he end up at SMU? Because he was a great golfer in the Southwest Conference and really challenged a lot of the Texas guys for years.
Honestly, he was a great golfer, you're right, as a senior. He didn't win a golf tournament until his senior year, and he won three. He was he played for the legendary Earl Stewart at SMU.
Chip's dad.
Chip's father, yes. And who was a no-nonsense kind of golf coach, smoked unfiltered Camels. suffice to say that Payne didn't take the game as seriously as his coach wanted him to.
Let's talk about the Ryder Cup, because that's a big part of your book. Scotty, you were there assisting Ben Crenshaw, and of course, Payne had a pivotal role in that.
He always had a pivotal role in Ryder Cups, it seemed like, when he played and was part of the team. He was very disappointed, by the way, in not being on the 95 and 97 teams leading into 99. And my first experience with Payne in the Ryder Cup, although a bit from a distance, but Julie Crenshaw was having her first baby, and so in 1987 at Muirfield. And I went up with Ben and stayed in the condominium complex, and Payne was there with the American team and such. And the Americans, for the first time, lost the Ryder Cup on U.S. soil.
And Jack was the captain,
and
right?
Jack was the captain, and the way they lost it was, I think, either five or six of the matches came to the last hole, and we lost them all and ended up, you know, losing the matches by just the narrowest of margins. So it was very disappointing. And I remember that night afterwards, I was just an observer, but I saw Payne and Curtis Strange, and we all had a drink, and they were talking about Ryder Cup and what it meant to the Americans. And I think at that point they both knew and hoped that they would play on a lot more teams and both be captains in the future. And of course, Curtis was, Payne would have been, no doubt about that. But, boy, what a spirit of the teams, Kevin, over the years, Payne was.
He loved that Ryder Cup so much. One of my favorite parts of this story, of this book, is after the single Sunday at Brookline, a big party.
Oh, yeah.
And
Scotty, you were there, weren't you?
I was there on and off, yeah. I mean, I was at dinner with you, I think.
I think Payne was in his pepper pajamas, and he was on a piano at one point, and smoking several cigars. The last two people awake were Payne Stewart and Hal Sutton. And Hal wasn't a big drinker, but Hal told me he had shots of tequila that night. And they were talking about this very thing, about someday they hoped they would be a Ryder Cup captain. And they made a promise to each other that night. Hal promised to choose Payne as a vice captain, and Payne promised to choose Hal.
Wow, well, that's not surprising. You know, the last time I saw Payne Stewart was the morning after the party. We had about a 10 o'clock flight out of Boston. And as I was about to walk out of the hotel, Payne comes down in the elevator, and he's leaning up against the wall of the elevator. Just, you could tell he'd had a long night.
You mean he wasn't at the fitness center that morning?
He was not. He was not, but he was out of the pepper pajamas. But he was leaving too, and you could tell he had had a good time the night before. But he had a little smile on his face, and I just looked over at him and I said, Payne, you know you'll be captain someday. And he just said, I sure hope so.
Yeah.
That was my last exchange with Payne Stewart, but I think everybody probably said that to him.
Yeah. We need to take a break, but after this break, more about the new book, The Last Stand of Payne Stewart, written by our friend Kevin Robbins, who's a lecturer at the University of Texas and has written his fair share of golf stories around the country. We're broadcasting live from Dirty Martin's Place, where the Ohio State Buckeyes are about to battle Michigan State. SMU is in action against Tulsa as well. We'll get you up to date on some scores and get back and learn more about The Last Stand of Payne Stewart on the 15th Club here on KLBJ.
Hi, this is Luke Wilson, and you're listening to the 15th Club with Scotty Sayers and Ed Clements on KLBJ.
Thank you, Luke.
And Duck Suit.
And Duck Suit.
They're
Sam
having,
Irwin, yeah.
Yeah, they're having their big farewell concert, the last time Duck Soup will play together, on November 3rd, and you can go to Eventbrite and get tickets to that. It's
wonderful.
It's almost sold out. It's going to be a fun night.
And Luke Wilson almost made the cut last week at the Dunhill Cup at Carnoustie and St. Andrews and Kings Barn. He played his heart out. Now he's going to make some movies in Fort Worth now.
He is, and he is a big supporter of the Save Muni movement.
He is. He's one of the guys. Luke Wilson, Dennis Quaid was at the golf course a couple of months ago.
Willie
Nelson, Ben
Kyle
Crenshaw,
Chandler.
Kyle Chandler, Ben Crenshaw, Tom Kite. It's just a cavalcade of people who love Lyons Municipal, and it's imperative that we save Lyons Municipal Golf Course for
you
the
bet
future.
You bet it is.
Can I mention that Tom Coyne, the author Tom Coyne, who's doing a new book called A Course Called America, he did A Course Called Ireland and A Course Called Scotland. He's doing a new book called A Course Called America, and he'll be at Lyons on Friday, November 15th.
Wow, good. Fantastic.
For his book.
The voice you hear is Kevin Robbins, our friend, who has a brand-new book about Payne Stewart, The Last Stand of Payne Stewart, The Year Golf Changed Forever. The book will be out nationally on Tuesday. I guess you can get it at Amazon. And also, Kevin will be at Book People this coming Thursday night for a reading and an appearance at Book People.
I will. And you know what's incredible about book selling these days? This book has been on Amazon since January. I was still writing this book in January.
Well, how are the pre-sales, you know?
They're good, yeah.
They've got to be good.
They're brisk. Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
Scotty and I have read the book. I've read the book when on our Scottish trip to North Berwick, which was really cool because I know Payne had been over there to Scotland many, many times. It was fun to read that book over there late at night. Yeah,
it was. So let's talk about Pinehurst,
yeah.
Where Payne had probably his greatest triumph.
I would say undeniably.
And how did he prepare for that? How did he play at the Masters that year? Did he have a good Masters?
He never had a good Masters, Scotty. Those his glaring weakness as a player was his putter. And even with the Seymour putter that he got in Pebble Beach that year in 99, it kind of changed the way he putted, he stroked the ball. Still, the greens at Augusta just baffled him. They embarrassed him, actually. It was his least favorite major for that reason. So I don't remember how he did. He might have made the cut, but just barely. He came into the U.S. Open in decent form. He had won that February at Pebble Beach, first time in a long time, 6 years. And he missed the cut in Memphis the week before the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. And he and Chuck Cook and Mike Hicks, his caddy, went to Pinehurst on Saturday, the day after he missed the cut in Memphis, because they had a plan. And Chuck had been there a lot with the Golf Digest schools. He knew that those crowned greens were going to be tricky.
Yeah.
You needed to be very deliberate and disciplined around them. And so they went out for practice rounds early in the week with just scoring clubs, with wedges. I think the longest club was a 7-iron.
Mm.
And all they did was hit shots from the hollows around those crowned greens at Pinehurst. So they were figuring out a couple of things. First, what's the best play from these spots, and they're also figuring out, if you do miss, where can you miss this green, and here are the places you absolutely cannot
miss.
Wow.
Isn't that ironic? He missed a cut the week before, and of course Ben Crenshaw missed a cut at New Orleans the week before he won in 95.
Yep.
Yeah, sometimes an extra day or two of practice on a course for a major helps out, but what great strategy at Pinehurst, of all things, to practice your short game and your chipping around those crowned off greens.
That's so much discipline and restraint. This is when he was becoming a fully formed player, and sort of planning and preparation is not something Payne Stewart typically did. But Chuck, who he trusted deeply, Chuck knew that golf course, and they hadn't played there much. You know, I think they played a tour championship there in the 90s, early 90s,
yeah.
Maybe,
yeah.
87 maybe, I don't know. But the U.S. Open was coming here for the first time in a long time. So it was kind of like a brand new canvas for the entire field. And Chuck had a plan. And so he took Payne around the greens, and they put a red X in the spots around these greens in the yardage book, places Payne should not miss a green.
Wow.
And he didn't hit one of those red X's until the final round.
Wow.
Yep.
And the final day, the final putt, when he was playing with Phil Mickelson, the very young Phil Mickelson, whose wife Amy was about to have a baby. He had the pager with him, and He was going to get Paige. He said he would believe it all time. And that final putt when Payne made the putt and put his arm in the air, which is now an iconic thing in golf. It's a statue at Pinehurst. Yeah. It's on the Payne Stewart Award they give out every year. It's just very, very eerie. It was cloudy, rainy that afternoon.
Yeah.
And what he told Phil Mickelson, tell everybody what he told Phil Mickelson.
That's subject to some speculation.
It
actually is. So what I relied on were the transcripts from ASAP Sports from the post-round interviews. And Phil is interviewed about that moment. And Phil says Payne said something to the effect of, "You will have your chance. You will win one of these." Yeah, ironic, right?
Yeah.
First of six second-place finishes for Phil Mickelson. You'll have your chance. You'll win one of these. The important thing is you're going to be a father.
Yeah.
And the next day he was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was right about one thing. Well, he did become a father, but he hadn't won the U.S. Open.
Tragically, people review and tell everybody he died 2 months after that. And just because I remember that day vividly because I called Scotty. Ben was on the line, and it was terrible heartbreak for Scotty and Ben that day.
Yeah, Ed, everybody remembers, even people who didn't really pay attention to golf. It was truly a national news event. Payne and five other people, including the two crew, took off the morning of October 25th, 1999 from Orlando on a perfect flying day. It was a business jet, a Learjet 35. They were going to fly to Dallas to look over some golf course property and then fly down to Houston for the Tour Championship. 20 minutes into the flight, there's no more radio communication. The plane does not turn west. It keeps going straight. It keeps going up. Four and a half hours later, it runs out of fuel in South Dakota and falls to the ground.
It was an interesting day because everybody speculated all of a sudden when they heard golfers were up in the air, or a golfer was up in
from
the air.
From Orlando.
And yeah. The first word was it might be Tiger. The second word, Julie Crenshaw said, "I think it's Phil." You know, I think I got a call that said that, but then right pretty quick we realized it was Payne.
Yeah, and I had a good friend of mine who's a pilot, and he edits an aviation magazine. He read over my shoulder because I don't know aviation well, but this was a long passage in the book. I had him look over my shoulder as I was writing this from a distance. He lives in Maryland, and he characterizes this event as the least mysterious mystery in the history of aviation, and here's why. Everybody knows the only thing that possibly could have happened is that the cabin depressurized.
Yeah.
And so everybody died a slow, kind of graceful death of hypoxia. But we'll never know for certain because that plane was 8 miles in the air over South Dakota when it ran out of fuel. It came down almost at the speed of sound. So the largest piece of the plane left was basically like an engine and something the size of a football. Everything else.
Kevin, this has been fun, and we wish you the best of luck for the book.
We've got time for one. Let's let Kevin ask the trivia question this week. It's brought to you by Nine Banded Whiskey and Donald Ross Sportswear. But Kevin's going to ask us a Payne Stewart trivia question.
I am. So Payne Stewart was the first PGA Tour player to win a major with an oversized driver. And I'll even tell you which major. It was the 89 PGA Championship.
At Kemper Lakes.
Can you tell me, Scotty or Ed, which driver this was?
Oh, I can tell you what driver that was. That would be the TaylorMade oversized driver.
You are 100% incorrect.
Oh, I'm going to say everyone would think, seemingly, that it might be a Callaway. I'm going to say it was a Cobra.
It is not.
What was it?
Is this the point where I reveal the answer?
I can't remember what clubs he used to play before he... Okay, well, go ahead.
The Wilson Whale.
The Whale.
You remember that bright red shaft?
I do. I have
Wilson
one.
Whale. You still have. You've got a lot of drivers in the back.
None of them work.
Kevin, thanks. It has been much fun. Much success with the Payne Stewart book, and
we look
forward to telling all our friends about it. It's been fun. Scotty, it's been a lot of fun.
Are you going to OU next week, or are we going to be here?
I don't know. I got the press pass, but I don't like the traffic. I may go. I may not go. We'll figure out someplace where we're going to be next week, okay?
Yeah.
I know Ben Clements is going.
Okay, good.
He's leaving probably tonight from ACL to go early. It's been fun, Kevin. Thanks, Scotty.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks to Dirty Martin's Place. Our show brought to you by Capital Chevrolet and by ABC Bank. We'll see you next week. Sports Saturday, the 15th Club here on KLBJ. So long, everybody.